Hi, this is Lisa Parziel back with you guys again for another interview. And today we're going to interview Jeremy Friedland, who hails from Portland, Oregon. And he owns Digital Marketing Maniacs. And he's with us here today just to talk about his success and some of the things he's been doing in the business. So welcome, Jeremy. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Appreciate it. So I'm going to jump right in and ask you a couple questions and just, you know, let us know however your experience was, and this interview is really for, you know, folks who are looking either to get into the business or have just started looking for a little bit of inspiration and some tips. So let's start by saying, when did you get into this business?
I started this business in like February of 2011. So got a pretty fresh start. It was actually kind of by accident that I got into this business, but that's when we started.
Okay, so roughly 3 years ago.
Yeah, we're actually starting our fourth year. We're actually almost right on the date for our first beginning of our fourth year. So,
happy anniversary!
Well, thanks.
Fantastic. Okay, so when you started, what experience did you have in this business, and what made you get into it?
I didn't have any experience in this business, actually. I was a VA. I was acting as a VA for a guy in India. It's kind of a swap. He was having me develop an outsourcing course for him so he could sell that course for money for other people and act as kind of a coach. And so I developed this outsourcing course for him, which was really weird for me. But and I was working as a construction worker, which is also weird because I don't build stuff. But I was desperate. I just wanted some money and moved back from New York City. Didn't have any money and didn't have anything going for me, really. So I was working construction, and then this freed me up. This guy from India was paying me to help him out with his course, which was just enough money to get by on and enabled me to start learning some other skills as well. So
I'm hearing that you really didn't have a ton of experience at all.
No, zero experience.
Zero.
I didn't know anything about local, nothing. And then I bought Mike Koenigs was doing, or Koenigs, or however you say that, was launching the Main Street Marketing Machines. And it was $3,000 or something like that. It was expensive. And I didn't have any money, so I asked my girlfriend at the time, we've been dating for like not that long, and I asked her if I could borrow her credit card to do this thing, because I just thought, hey, this looks like a good route to go and looks like something that I can do. People like me, so that's usually the first step to get in the door. And so that's what I did.
So you saw a sales presentation, and the ticket was $3,000. You borrowed money from your then new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Nice girlfriend.
I'm marrying her now.
All right. So. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Marrying her. So it worked out. I'm guessing you paid her back.
I did pay her back. I did pay her back. My pastor said that I better pay her back before we get married, otherwise there's going to be some issues. So I just cut her a check, and it was fine.
Nice. Yeah. So, you know, with that said, what kind of success have you had?
You know, it has been a roller coaster. I'm not going to lie. It's initially when I first made the initial investment into the business, I was on the phone. I called anybody with a business card. I was on the phone just telling people, looking people up and seeing how they're doing in Google. And back then, Google Maps was huge. I mean, it was super easy to rank people in Google Maps, according to the train. And so I just looked for people that had no Google Maps presence, and then I was just on the phone. And I didn't care if they told me to F off or, you know, whatever, I'm good, don't talk to me, or, yeah, let's meet. I didn't care. I just wanted to get back that initial investment as soon as possible. And I did. So I started off, and within the first, like, 3 months, I got about $3,000 a month worth of residual income coming in, which was decent because I was doing all the work myself, so I didn't have any output really as far as expenses go. And then I got up to about 6,500 a month, was in that range, doing really well, bringing on new clients. A lot of referrals were coming in. And then I moved to Portland. That was all in Spokane. I moved to Portland. And honestly, like 3 months after I moved to Portland, three clients called me on the same day and canceled their stuff. And I lost about $3,000 a month in income overnight.
Overnight.
Literally in the same day. And I had all these new bills and all this stuff. So that went down. And I honestly like lost my motivation for like a year, which I shouldn't have done. I should have just kept on going, because action is rewarded. You know, whatever your beliefs are, I believe that God blessed me for my actions, and I wasn't taking any. So, and then about last year, I started getting really motivated again and got into it and started selling websites like crazy and bringing on new clients, and now we're back up into that range and even higher than we were before. So it's been a struggle. It's been tough, but it's been really good at the same time. So it's the life of a business owner.
Life of a business owner, yeah. So in that struggle, obviously, you know, everyone has highs and lows. Everyone, you know, listening should know. I mean, and that's why we're doing these interviews. It's really great to find out, hey, it's normal, you know, to have those highs and lows, and it's normal to lose clients occasionally. A lot of folks say, you know, well, you shouldn't lose clients. It happens. And so you got to keep working. So that's why we like to do it. So how many clients do you currently have?
I have about 7, 8. I had to look at my folders, but I think around 7 or 8.
Okay.
Right now. Some are local, some are national, some are international. So I don't just do local. If it makes sense for me to take on a national client, then I will definitely do that. So, but the majority of my business is local.
Okay. So, but not a crazy amount of clients. I would guess your average monthly cost or should I say income from them has to be higher than to actually do the service. So do you have a sweet spot or a number you look for?
Right now, my sweet spot's right around like 1,500 to 2,000 a month is kind of where I'm at. I still have 3 of my original clients from 3 years ago, and they're right around the $1,000, $750, $1,000 a month area. But we're getting ready to bump them up pretty soon. We're either gonna bump them up or we're gonna let them go, because that's really where we're trying to be. Is we're not trying to do anything less than nothing less than 1,000 for sure. And then on up from there. But I have some clients right now, we just got bumped up to around the $3,000, $3,500 range, and it's going to increase next month once they start doing some other work as well. So kind of the $2,000, $1,500, $2,000 range is kind of our sweet spot, I guess.
All right. Well, and if you do the math on that, rather to have 8 clients that you're, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 a month than have 20 clients that you're doing $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to work any harder than I have to, because it's not laziness. It's just that every client thinks you're their only client, and so you have to manage them. And managing 20, 30 people is hard. You know, you pretty much have to have a completely separate phone altogether that you don't answer for the client. Because they think they can call you whenever they want to, you know, because they're paying you a decent chunk of money, so they want access. And that was definitely one of the lessons I learned, was you have to set boundaries for your clients before it's too late.
All right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Now, do you go after a particular client? You have a niche that you're kind of in?
We haven't. Up till now, we haven't. But we're really wanting to focus on our niche because we see the benefit in that. When you go into someone's office building and you're not an expert in their particular niche, it makes it a lot more difficult to talk about and to come across as the expert. So if you focus on a niche, you can just through being enveloped into that, just through being so involved in that niche, you become the expert by default. So we're really kind of going after dentist and car dealerships, which are completely, totally separate, but they both have huge budgets, and so they're a good, and they need help. So that's kind of where we're heading. Right.
And the budget is key, right? So we can't approach folks that don't have the budget to afford that $2,000 or $3,000 a month.
Right. And we can't, I think it's important to also say that we can't reduce our costs. So if a client says, well, I can't afford that, I can afford $1,000. Can we do it for $1,000? You know, you can say, well, we can do something for $1,000, but we can't do that. You know, this is, you want to pay less, we're going to offer less. And so you have to really make sure not to be a discount wholesaler, because it ruins you, it ruins their perception of you.
Right.
So.
Right. And if they refer you, they're going to refer their friends with the suggested retail price that they received as well.
Are you paying?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, exactly. And if they don't and you charge, you know, somebody more and they find out, then you're, you know, kind of in a pickle with the customer who had to pay more than the other guy for the same service. So it does make sense to give them less. So you're saying that you actually would take the customer who wants less, but just give them less.
Yeah. Yeah. If they, you know, if we put together a proposal for them and it was for SEO and PPC or whatever, and it was $2,000, $2,500 and they didn't want to pay that, I'd say, well, this is what we can do. You know, we can offer you something for $1,000 a month, but it won't be package B. It's going to be package A, you know, right, or vice versa. So
makes sense.
But yeah, we're starting to actually transition into just offering whole packages, so complete marketing packages. Not just saying we're going to start not giving them the option of doing just one thing. We're going to say, we're going to do your SEO, we're going to do your PPC, we're going to do your social, your reputation, we're going to do your print, we're going to be your marketer, and these are the packages that we offer. Our minimum one's going to be like $1,500 and then go from there, but we want to offer the entire package, not just a one-off service.
Right. Well, we found the same thing rings true in our business as well, that when we try to do everything, we weren't as effective as when we kind of honed in on these are our packages, because then we could create processes around every one of those packages. And when you sell to someone outside of your process, no matter how hard you try not to, would you agree that you end up doing more work than just going out and finding another client that's willing to stay within your package?
Yeah, exactly. And you're scurrying around like crazy trying to find an outsourcer that can do it, or trying to find some kind of business partner that can fulfill the thing you just promised that you don't really do. So it's a lot easier and painless to just put together a system of services that you want to offer and just offer that. Don't go outside of that. If they want something else, they ask you. In this community, you know somebody that does something. So give somebody a blessing and refer them off to somebody else that's going to do a lot better job than you'll do.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it's the truth that there are more people that are willing to do services for less money than more money.
Yeah.
People are afraid to ask for the money, and so there's always someone who will probably take that job. All you'd have to do is get on one of your Facebook or Google groups,
yeah,
you know, that you're probably on and put that out there. So
exactly.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. So this is probably the toughest question we'll get to. You know, as you were building what now is, you know, a nice six-figure income, what was your biggest pain or obstacle that you had to kind of tackle?
It's kind of a two-part. It's a two-part deal. I think that because we really specialize in SEO, and SEO really ebbs and flows with all the Google changes and whatnot, I was getting less confident that we could get the results. And which didn't make sense, because we were getting results for people. But I was feeling less confident, especially because I was outsourcing the work now. I wasn't doing it all myself anymore. And so outsourcing was really the hardest obstacle for me, because I was afraid that if I wasn't doing it, the results wouldn't be as good. And with that, the second part of that was, because I felt that way, I didn't want to call people and offer my services because I was afraid that, it might not be a guaranteed deal. And so I was stuck. I was stuck in this cycle of doing nothing because I didn't want to take someone's money without being able to be assured they would get a result for that money. So,
yeah. So you took no action, which I will have to say is still better than offering it for, you know, on the cheap.
Right.
Because then you're not making any money and you're taking all the risk, right?
Exactly.
So you're saying just trusting the outsourcing and finding a partner that you felt really good in, that you felt you could, you know, who would stand behind what you're out there promising.
Yeah, and that's what the hard part is because I was working with an outsourcer, and they actually got two more of my clients sandboxed in Google. And that was my first experience using an outsourcing company specifically for SEO. And so that further led me down the pipeline of this isn't working. But I think that, yeah, finding someone that's going to do a good job for you and just trusting that they're taking action and doing a good job is key. But I think the most important part for me was understanding that marketing isn't a guarantee. There are no guarantees. And you can't offer a guarantee because it's a risk. And that's something that I think setting up those expectations with the business owner is important because for some reason in the world of digital media, the business owner has come to think that they should get a guarantee for spending the money. Whereas if they were to put together a TV commercial or a radio spot or a print ad or a phone book ad, that conversation never happens. So I think it's important to understand that you're going to make your best effort to get them guarantees. It's in your best interest to get them results. It's not in your best interest to take their money and then do nothing with it. So that's how I explain it to my customers now. I say it's in my best interest to get you the best results possible because we want you to refer us to other people and we want you to leave us testimonials and so it's in my best interest, but can I offer you a guarantee? Absolutely not. Marketing is a risk, and you're either taking the risk with me or you're not.
All right. Well, but you have results that you can show them of
right. Other
customers that you've done that work for.
Right.
So I totally agree. I think that's fabulous advice. What I liked about what you said, one of the things I really liked about that was comparing it to the radio or the TV. I've never heard it compared that way before, and that's fantastic because you're right. Those conversations wouldn't happen.
Right.
There's no guarantees. They can tell you what their demographic are. We're going to reach this many people.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's the difference with us. We can't guarantee how many people they reach unless we're doing pay-per-click, and then, of course, we can't.
Right,
so,
right.
So great point. Well, one more question, you know, that everyone always seems to want to know. So we know you had some pains, you know, when you built that business, but let's look at the opposite side. Let's talk about, you know, what's the one thing you can say that I did this thing and it either turned my business around or I know is something that made me successful?
I picked up the phone. Everyone's out there saying cold calling's dead. Cold calling, you don't need to cold call. You don't need a cold call. You don't need to be on the phone. Just put up a webinar and people will flood in the gates. And that, I'm sure everyone has a strategy, but for me, I think because people like me, and I'm not saying this to boast or anything, but because I come across pretty friendly and pretty low key and I'm not real aggressive or pushy or abrasive, I think that being able to get on the phone with people and say, hey, I'd love to sit down with you, and I see that there's an opportunity for your business to do a lot better. I know you're already spending money here, and make sure they're spending money, but I'd really like to sit down with you and just show you how I can help optimize your presence out there and just getting on the phone with people and don't sell them. Just say, hey, I'd like to sit down and talk with you, and I think we can honestly help you, and there's no cost to it. It's not going to hurt you, but I think that I can help you do a lot better than you're doing right now. And just picking up the phone. That's my biggest thing is contacting people. Don't just, they say paralysis by analysis, right? You're sitting there cleaning up your office and you got, everything's got to be straight and organized and your list, you got your whole lead list that now you have to alphabetize the lead list because, you know, you want to make sure you're doing it in alphabetical order. And, you know, it's just take action and get on the phone. I mean, that's, it hurts the most, but it's going to help you grow the most as well as a person. And I've been, I have my little flip cam here and I set it up and I record myself on my phone calls now. And I intend on posting those phone calls, on my forum just to show people that, listen, you don't have to be perfect. And when you're recording yourself, you can see, watch your face, because your face is going to be able to show how you're feeling. If you're pissed off and angry and upset, it's going to show on your face and they're going to be able to hear it on the phone. So I use the camera to make faces in. So if I'm frustrated with a customer, I'm just like, ah, you know, making a face or just being goofy and looking at myself on the camera and just being a goofball. And that helps me handle a challenge that I'm dealing with on the phone. So not everyone's going to be nice to you, but it helps to just take the action and get over it.
Great,
they can't kill you.
Great advice, Jeremy. I'm looking forward to seeing the kiss cam, you know, footage that you're going to have.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, but it does make sense. The more people you talk to, the more yeses you will eventually hear. So if you only talk to one person a week, you're only going to possibly be able to close one person a week. And, you know, we all know that we can't close them all. So we need to have numbers. And in any sales position, you know, numbers are a part of it. So really good advice. So, well, I appreciate you taking the time out today to record this with me and kind of talk through things. You know, and appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. And I hope that it helps somebody out there just understand that it doesn't happen overnight. You hear a lot of overnight stories, you know, maybe they're true, maybe they're not, but it's hard work and it doesn't happen overnight. And you have to be willing to want to change where you're at badly enough to just take stupid action and,
Or any action.
Or any action whatsoever, yeah. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to kind of share my story and just show people that not all of us are overnight successes, but we are successes. So.
And with that, thank you, Jeremy.
No problem. Thanks, Lisa.
You bet.